The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we are back here on Analyze This. And before I forget, you know, the memory in our shop is the ones with. Good morning again, Director Fleming. I hear your boss had a board day yesterday. Any truth to that?
Yes. That is in fact confirmed.
Yeah. I heard it. So I'm happy belated board day, Gov. I know you're growing at a rapid rate. Of course, that's not your fault. That happens. with whenever you have when you take on a position of this nature, you saw Bill Clinton head went lily white. Barack Obama got a lovely shade of gray. The gray coming. They come with a gig. So it's like that. And then two of my homeboys, Donovan and Everton Ferran, they make ball data as well. Fraternal twins. Check, they're identical. Fraternal twins, they make ball data as well. So happy ball there. And I want to know, yesterday was the last day for Aquarians or today? Or I know Pisces kicking sometime soon. So we go find out what's going on.
What's funny, I was just asking that question over the weekend, and I think it's still...
Or today or tomorrow. We're going to find out. We're going to put an engineer to work. Engineer, find out when the Pisces clock start. Okay? My birthday coming up in another 16 days as well, so looking forward to that. Check this out, right? So what can we learn? I know our thing is completely unique. You know, Texas is a contiguous state, the biggest contiguous state. Right, and we are 100% detached. We've spoken about our resilience and how we have desensitized ourselves to just dealing with natural disasters like this, and then just coming back afterward. But we are making an investment now, right, to address a quicker return to normalcy as relates to energy coming out of Irma Maria, right?
Most definitely. I mean, I think we're seeing a couple. There are a couple of different projects that I think that are going to speak. That speak directly to some of the major challenges, that we've been having. One, you know, the closest one, which is, you know, was really quickly identified and mobilized, was the St. John microgrid. That project, you know, aiming to put actual generators on St. John, as opposed to St. John being solely reliant on being fed from the Harley Power Plant in St. Thomas via undersea cable. So, you know, that is kind of in the same sense of looking at, okay, how do we more localize the actual energy generation, right? So instead of having to transmit it across, you know, cross island, undersea, and to get to St. John, we can actually have some redundancy, locally positioned and strategically positioned there on island. So that's certainly one project that'll aim at bolstering the resiliency. And in St. Thomas, they have generators will be included into the Raleigh fleet of generation as well. That expands the capacity as well as, you know, reduces some of the need for the lease generation that's currently there, so we can get reduce some of the costs associated with the power generation while also putting in brand new. Much more efficient, much more configurable dispatch as well. So, you know, those two projects are the ones that are, I think, closest to coming to fruition. So that's why I highlight those first. But outside of that, you know, we have a number of renewable and then battery systems as well that are specced out for integration throughout the territory. And those all, you know, one, bringing down the cost by producing more locally. Once again, we talk about our location here in the Caribbean and being fully detached means that, you know, the less reliant we are on having to deliver fuel to the Virgin Islands for our energy needs, the more sustainable we'll be overall from an energy perspective. But it's a gradual progression in adding renewables while still maintaining some level of traditional power generation through the engines. It's a delicate balance, but I think as long as we keep a forward progression and always looking at opportunities to incorporate renewables wherever possible, as the technology allows us to, that we should continue to do so as well.
We got Ronnie Russell joining the conversation. Morning, Ronnie, regular contributor. How are you?
Good morning, Neville, and to your guests and to the wonderful audience. This is an excellent interview that I've been listening to it from the beginning.
Any questions that you have for Director Fleming as it relates to how we could take advantage of as it relates to from a visionary perspective, seeing what's taking place in Texas? Of course, you know they got 40 million, we're 100,000, but one life in the Virgin Islands is the same as one life in Texas.
Yeah, the question I would have is, are we moving toward renewable energy in the Virgin Islands? And what is the time frame? Because we have always had the resources to get renewable energy. We were facing the willpower of the leaders to, you know, put us on that type of system. So when would be the time frame that we could move away from fossil fuel? And what would be the cost from his perspective?
In addition to that, when we go renewables, are they as dependable as fossil fuels? Because at some point we need to factor in dependability of the fuel source. I know we want to talk about efficiency, our environment, and reliability and all about, but the dependability, I think that dynamic needs to be factored in a little bit more, I would think.
Yeah, and I think what has changed, the biggest change in on the renewable front relative to getting it closer to being dispatchable or deployable, I guess, in the way that fossil fuels are, has been the batteries, right? So before, when you looked at solar, people just looked at solar. When they looked at wind, they just looked at wind. And when the resource was available, you had the power available to you. And then when you didn't, you always needed to fill in that gap somehow in the energy supply. Whereas now that batteries have become, we could thank, we could definitely tip a hat to Elon Musk. I think he's certainly been the poster child for promoting battery storage on a much larger scale. And I think we've certainly seen the industry adapt as well. And by including the battery into these, what we call intermittent sources, so solar and wind, for example, that come and go, the batteries are what allow for you to overproduce, even when you don't need it, but still have it stored and ready to use when it is required. And so that's really been the big game changer in seeing the batteries, the storage element, expand on the utility scale. And so that's where you're seeing the dependability of renewables growing by virtue of adding batteries to that technology mix.
The head of school over there, Giff Hill, said that you met with him last week, had a good conversation.
Oh, a fantastic one. Yep.
What are they doing over there at Giff Hill School that you think we need to look at territory wide?
Well, I can tell you right now, after spending just even a day there, I already am ready to go back to high school.
that's a big compliment, like Headmaster Mills. You got people doing a Rodney Dangerfield wanting to go back to school and all that stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm they're pretty innovative and creative over there, right?
Yeah, they are, and it's really a testament to, honestly, it's really what I feel like the life experience in the Virgin Islands reflects is, being able to be experimental in the way you approach, some of the challenges that we have, the unique challenges that we have here, while also fostering a very creative environment for, for the minds that are surrounded by, within that environment to learn from as well. So from everything from agriculture to energy, to just even the way the students interact in an open space, it's a totally unique approach, at least that I've seen to education. It's certainly certainly something to be marveled at and great idea to carry forward.
Awesome. Well, Director Fleming, thank you very much for joining us and giving this perspective as it relates to what's taking place in Texas. Of course, you have pointed out that we deal with this on a pretty much an annual basis, right? If it ain't real, at least in the form of a scare, when they actually skirt us, the hurricanes that is, and our resilience is second to none, and we are making that investment, and hopefully that 8 billion, of which half of it is energy related, could be spent and managed to the best of our abilities to allow for us to be more resilient as it relates to our energy infrastructure going forward. And you are a member of the WAPA board, so you are vested in making sure that that happens.
100%. Thank you, Zara, Noah, for allowing me to take some time today.
No, man.
Ronnie, great chatting with you as well. Both of you enjoy, and thanks for the opportunity to shed some light and some perspective.
Thank you, and tell my friend Lynette Sierra, say hello.
Well, will do.
Okay, good thing. Thanks a lot. That's Kyle Fleming, Virgin Islands Energy Director, and we're grateful to have him to provide some perspective. You know, we Ronnie analyze this. That's what we do here at this show. You know what I mean? We broaden our scope. That's what we're into here. We're into just minimizing and talking about the same thing over and over again. And by the way, Ronnie, me and you, we go find some time to take a trip over to St. John to check out what's really going on at this Gainesville school.
Yeah. And, the cutting edge of technology regarding renewable energy, we have the ability to jump on the bandwagon with the new president and his mandate for, moving away from fossil fuel. The truth is, Neville, fossil fueling isn't being reliable here.
Yeah, here. Well, it's just expensive. It's just expensive.
We haven't had a good experience with fossil fuel at all.
I remember back in 2008, and you and I, remember we got beat up for this. They were trying to say we were trying to buy votes, right?
Yeah.
And they really didn't understand what we were doing. We were saying, right, if the government gets into the business of subsidizing our energy, it not only going to reduce costs for everyone who lives here and does business here, it's going to encourage investment.
Exactly.
And they look at us, remember Usi, our boy, my cousin, and your boy out of West, right? I mean, they beat up on us. He was Senate President at the time, and they said, we're trying to buy votes and all of them. Even our good friend, old-timer, all of them, right?
Yeah.
And because what had happened was we had people marching at Government House every Friday because the WAPA bills were ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? And we said, look, we've looked throughout the Caribbean, from Guyana come up, and we saw where every island made some commitment. Tortola, remember Tortola, right next door?
Yeah.
Remember Tortola? Yeah. We found out, we did it, because you know, I like to do my research, and you go to litigating and putting it in the legal vernacular to make it sound good. And when we get all our data, me, you, Wang, all of we, right? And we said, look, this approach, we need to consider it. Because we need to not only provide financial relief, but we need to restore confidence in the public that our leaders are sensitive to what we're dealing with, in addition to investment. And I'm willing to bet, had we done that, right, more people who were interested in investing into the Virgin Islands would have looked at us with a favorable eye. We ain't guaranteeing that they would have come, but at least, could you imagine a businessman saying, well, wait a minute, these folks down there, they understand what's going on. We really need to consider, setting up shop down there. If we know that part of our business portfolio is some level of subsidy from the government as it relates to energy.
Yeah.
Look at us now, Ronnie, man. It's a joke, man.
Yeah. Well, WAPA has been problematic throughout the years because of the reliance on fossil fuel. And, it's never been reliable. It isn't reliable. And, we needed to change it then, and we needed to change it now. And the Texas reality is complex, but you could break it down, Neville. And you could break it down to desire to make a lot of money at the expense of the services that needed to be provided by a state. And that's where, that's a deliberate denial for the opportunity to make money. And that the deliberate denial, according to the information I got, they had the same type of deep freeze in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And after the studies came out, they were supposed to weatherize and spend money so that it could never happen again. And they decide, no, we don't need to spend the money.
And 10 years later, what goes around comes around.
Exactly.
We got Raymond Williams from the PSC board joining the conversation. Well, good morning, Mr. Commissioner.
Morning, right? Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How's everything?
Morning.
We're here talking about what took place in Texas and how it's impacting everybody. And what do you do to protect, yourself from yourself? Because in this case, what Ronnie Russell was just talking about was what happened in 2021 happened in 2011, and they did virtually nothing. And look what come out of that, Commissioner Williams.
Yeah. When I saw what was happening, it was pretty interesting. But, the first thing that jumped out to me was that on the mainland, you speak about great diversity and the fact that generally about, I would say at least 98% of the mainland American states have good diversity. And to think that Texas, probably one of the biggest states in the United States, was segregated or separated from that. Mm-hmm. I found that amazing to begin with. Number two, you notice immediately the game, the finger pointing within the state as to who's responsible. Look, if that natural disaster didn't take place, if the winter, the storm didn't happen, that conversation would have never been on the table. So for me, I get to a place where we were so quick to judge and cast judgment on people and, oh, you should have done this. Had it not happened, they would have never had the conversation. Now that the conversation is happening, it's interesting, but I thought it's pretty sad to see how, the weather caused that dilemma.
Moreover, you
look at us here in the VI, mm-hmm. We go through the storm, the hurricane seasons, and we get impacted by major storms. Most of these states don't even care, generally, what happens here. You looking at it from the outside in, the fact that we do a lot of planning here to ensure that we can have uninterrupted service. Although we have the issues with the equipment, that the aging equipment, the length of time it's taking for us to get the FEMA dollars obligated to getting the new systems in and stuff like that. But, at least we have, I'll say, a good level of resilience here in the BI, outside of the fact that we can't tie to nobody else. You spoke about, a few days ago, I heard you talking about Puerto Rico and tying to Puerto Rico. It's a fallacy at best, because Puerto Rico, getting to Puerto Rico, just getting that cable to Puerto Rico, going to cost us something that we don't even want to discuss in terms of the ability to make it happen. Because you make it happen, but how reliable will it be? They have their own issues. I just think that from a local perspective, from a regulator perspective, we've been going through the back and forth. We've dealt with it politically. We've dealt with it from a regulatory perspective. But at the same time, I don't think that we are drilled down and focused in making these things happen. Because
we're gonna pick up on that right there. We're gonna actually go back to what happened in 2011 and what happened in 2019. That actually served as a trigger. We'll be back right after this break.
The bullseye, because no show does a better job of showcasing the best creators we have today.
It's like the liner notes on a favorite album, but for everything in culture.
It makes me happy to hear music I've never heard before, voices I'd never thought to listen to, and culture recommendations that are outside my comfort zone. That's why I listen to Bullseye. You should too.
Bullseye, 3 p.m. Sundays on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
On Fresh Air, you'll hear from people who really make you think, like astrophysicist Brian Greene explaining the scientific theory that our universe is just one of many.
And the image that I like to have in mind is, imagine that our universe is like one slice of bread in a much grander cosmic loaf, with the other slices of bread being other universes.
No subject is too big for Fresh Air. Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Now more than ever, employee safety and health is essential. As the owner or manager of an organization or business, how do you keep your workplace safe and employees healthy? Help is available. UVI Safety in Paradise program provides free occupational safety and health audits of workplace hazards and programs. You'll get a free assessment, guidance, and training to help you protect your workers and reduce costs due to accidents and illness. Always confidential, always free. For details, visit safety.uvi.edu.
Good morning. Back here, Analyze This, and we got Rima Williams, Commissioner for the Public Services Commission. We're talking about energy in light of what has taken place in Texas last week. And we got Ronnie Russell, regular contributor, talking about the Virgin Islands and how we go about fixing, at least putting ourselves in position to be more resilient and more reliable and more dependable. Now, there was a Texas freeze last week, early last week, and there was an incident that Ronnie Russell mentioned. Right, the February 2011 incident occurred when an Arctic cold front descended on the southwest, sending temperatures below freezing for 4 days in a row. The result was disastrous. Equipment and instruments froze, forcing the shutdown of power plants and rolling blackouts, according to the report. Now, that's February 2011. This is February 2021. 2 years ago, we spoke about this on Friday with the National Weather Service, when we asked them, what is a polar vortex? Remember in January of 2019, there was a freezing of America like they hadn't seen in over a century, right? We have these incidents that occur, Ronnie Russell. And for some reason, we don't use them to our benefit in terms of them serving as indicators of to exposing what where you are, where you're not, what you need, and what you don't have.
Yeah, Neville, you know, as I was saying, it's a complex issue, but it goes back to capitalism turning on itself in a way that the corporations now are making so much money and they have the people believing that they're representing the interests of the people. And then when a disaster hits, the leaders hide behind political rhetoric to really insulate themselves from taking responsibility. Texas governor should take responsibility, not by blaming renewables, but blame his administration for the failures.
And the historical negligence, yes, as it relates to lack of investment.
Well, look, and what is happening is the Republicans are disregarding human life for money. The COVID response by the Republican Party, the immigration response by the Republican Party, police brutality, and access to money. So what you have is a country that's turning against the majority of people who live in the country for the interest of money. And it's Texas was a microcosm of that. And it shows really how the country is imploding because it doesn't want to provide the basic stuff for what people need to live, healthcare. They're fighting healthcare. The energy now is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Biden wants to move away from fossil fuel because it's creating climate change and warming. And he got strong resistance from the Republicans.
Because of money.
Who just want to hold on to making money. And it's a small few of people that's very rich that, you know, controlling the whole economic and social structure of America. But it comes down to, you know, conservatism is like a synonym for doing people wrong. You do people wrong and you say a conservative is all right. That's the problem. And we don't want it to influence us here because we don't need to follow that kind of leadership that's happening by the Republicans in the state. We need to solidify our leadership. We are going to look out for the people, education, healthcare, public safety, and energy. And I hope we could do it for energy, because we need to move away from fossil fuel too.
No, well, we got the leaders you're talking about. We got one in the midst of this conversation, Commissioner Rima Williams from the PSC. In reading this article on Bloomberg from last week, they said coming out of the 2011 incident, power companies have little incentive to make investments in winterization. They may not recoup, said Adrian Shelley, Texas office director of the advocacy group Public Citizen. So, Commissioner Williams, the question is, right, at what point does money not have to be a deterrent for doing the right thing and protecting you, protecting the people from the elements as it relates to what transpired a week to 10 days ago?
Yeah, my take on that is that and I'm trying to keep it local.
Yeah.
In terms of the,
but that's what I mean. That's what I mean. I mean, yeah, transition it to local.
I don't think that money is it is an issue because we don't have it. Let's start there. We have some access to it, but getting it in hand and getting it spent and getting the equipment in, generally, clearly, as we've seen and experienced, it takes a hell of a long time. But I think once we get beyond that, you know, you look at the in the Young administration, when we had the, I forget the name, the name of the program, something 2025, you know, where there was a plan, a strategic plan put in place to improve our, to reduce our carbon footprint, to improve on our energy resiliency through the use of less fossil fuel by 2025. Now you have another program that the current administration is working on that takes us out to year 2040. My thing is that we're here in 2021. That plan that that the young administration at the time was put together maybe 10 years ago. And, you know, we're still sitting in the same location, same place, using pretty much the same equipment. You know, in St. Croix, we rent the units that we have that are standalone and ready to jump into operation at any point in time. I think part of our overarching big concern and issue should be the continued pressing of WAPA to keep the process moving forward in getting new equipment in here, you know. And
I found that thing you're looking for. February 22nd, 2010, the U.S. Departments of Interior and Energy have entered into agreement with the U.S. Virgin Islands to move the territory away from its dependence on fossil fuels. Governor right. John DeYoung Jr., U.S. Assistant Secretary of Interior and Insular Affairs Anthony Babuta, and Joe Garcia, Director of the Department of Energy's Office of Economic Impact, recently signed a memorandum of understanding setting out what each party's role will be in achieving a goal of 60% of the territory's energy come from renewable resources by 2025.
Right.
So that was 11 years ago, this month.
Right. So we're here in 2021, and we've done some work in that regard. You know, a lot of people politically look at the PSC and, you know, the decisions we make. Most of our community doesn't appreciate the work that is required to go into doing the background analysis in making these decisions. You know, you do not set rates or set policy that guides WAPA based on the community's perception or feel or what they don't feel. We in the VI, we're so lucky, and we've been so lucky that, you know, you look at waste, for example, something that we regulate as well. Nobody pays for collection of trash. You know, we've been setting tariffs, we've been setting, what is the name for waste management, collection fees. Every time the PFP has done anything in that regard, the legislature, because of community pressure, pulls it back.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't help the economy. It doesn't help the community because somebody got to pay for trash disposal. And the government cannot pay for it alone. You know, and we keep playing that game that, oh, let's kick the can, kick the can, kick the can. And then you hear people talking about waste management as an organization being a failure. It's not that the organization is a failure. It's our political disposition that makes it fail because we fail to implement those different fees and stuff like that.
Well, you know something, I want to chime in right there, and I'll let Ronnie come in as well, because I think we need to put some historical context into what we're dealing with the Waste Management Authority. The Waste Management Authority was created because of some negligence within the central government. Remember, Public Works was responsible for everything.
Correct.
That's number one, right? Number two, unfortunately for the Waste Management Authority, and I know I'm sounding like an apologist for it, but these are the facts. It coincided with us experiencing the energy crisis. When the Waste Management Authority was created in the 25th legislature with Ronnie Russell and Lewis Hill Lemon, so, right? Late 2003 into early 2004. At that time was when the LEAC started to kill us. And one of the problems that we had, right, was if we were going to implement these fees to fund the existence and the cost for the disposal that you're referencing, Commissioner Williams, that would be Kokobep on top of yours, because the people at that particular time, we were paying through our every parts of our body to the Water and Power Authority for the levelized energy adjustment clause costs that comes with WAPA. So it was really a bad timing thing. But you're correct from the standpoint that at some point, the tipping fees and those fees are going to have to be applied, because the government can't continue to play for that.
We can't run from it.
And this is, what is this? This is February 2021, Ronnie. This is 17 years after the Waste Management was created. And to date, there hasn't been one fee implemented, Ronnie Russell.
Right. And it was created to be self-sustaining with a tipping fee that was estimated to run itself and make money and have people accountable for their waste. And the waste, we are a finite territory with islands. There ain't no place to, you know, store the waste except those landfills, and you know there's problem. So the tipping fee, and it was created at a time, and Neville, you're absolutely right. Because how much can we burden?
We can't bear it. We couldn't bear it.
Yeah, okay, but it needs to be revisited. Just let me say it clearly, Mr. Williams. And it needs to be revisited in the context of a wholesome approach to the territory regarding energy, waste, and regarding the infrastructures, what we're going to do with our territory and how we're going to protect it. Because we're going to get out of hurricane, but we protect it a little bit now, protect it more, and deal with this waste. Waste to energy was something considered too. And they should be reconsidered now, because the technology has moved so far ahead, and we could reinvent where we are with this new administration. But a tipping fee, and maybe you can't charge a tipping fee, Neville and Mr. Williams, that was envisioned to support the whole Waste Management Authority. But you should charge something. And you should charge so that people could manage their waste and manage how the territory looks because of waste. Because we depend on tourism. People coming in. We want the territory to look good.
Yeah,
we want our waste to be managed.
And we need it clean. We need the territory clean.
I with him. I hope. And I think the Senate is ready to do it.
Well, the question then now to Commissioner Williams, because in this regard he indirected today, he's Commissioner Williams today, is where is the political will that is required at this particular point? Because that's basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Yeah.
Whether it be individually, whether it be collectively, we hope it's collectively, so everybody could share in the burden that Ronnie's talking about.
Yeah.
But we need political will now. And basically, it starts with the political will working in concert with excellent investment, Commissioner Williams.
Yes.
But I'll answer, I don't agree with Ronnie Tonan, because we got to stop trying to continue using that byline. We need to relook and rethink. We've never implemented anything, so there's nothing to look at. We need to implement, put in place. You know, the PNC has been vested with the responsibility and the authority to do these things. And then politically, we kick the ball down the road. We got to stop. Look, you got to look at it from a more holistic point that it ain't about getting reelected every time. It's about what's going to do the best benefit for the community in general. And that's what we're around every time. Because we keep looking at it like, well, my son, I want to get reelected, so the community kicking up a storm. They want pay for trash disposal. Nonsense. Okay, only in the VR we don't play those games. We got to get beyond that.
But not only that, though.
We have got to share in the burden.
One of the things that Wang Louis bragged about, you know, rest in peace, was that he took pride in getting the federal government to finance a number of our needs simply because we are limited. We're surrounded by water. These are the realities. We have special circumstances that require a different level of financing. And we can't, you know, we can't be kicking the can down the road when we have an avenue that we are not tapping into, Ronnie Russell, at the levels that we should. Interior Department and the Energy Department signed off on a deal 11 years ago today, February 22nd. And here we are talking the same talk 11 years later.
Correct.
Well, Neville, what you said, and the willpower of the leaders, particularly the legislature, to revisit that waste management tipping fee and revisit just how the conversion that was signed off in the MOU, how it could gradually occur. And then all of the agencies and all of the people, will fall in line, and if they don't fall in line, you know, that's part of opposition, but the opposition has to have reasonable approaches to a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't oppose something.
For the sake of opposing it, because it's politically expedient.
So you oppose the tipping fee. Well, what's your solution to pay for waste instead of paying a contractor $2 million?
Yes, sir.
How could you save money and get the government the money in some other way? So don't criticize, but just offer solutions. We didn't hear any solutions when the tipping fee was removed, you know, from the legislation or the implementation, whether the governor won't implement it, whatever the case might be. It was there, and it was never implemented. So now we have to go back to that. And
what we're gonna
do is, Neville.
No, what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a quick break, then we keep on Commissioner Williams about 5 minutes when we come back from the break. And I want us to talk about that visionary thinking that's required, because you're talking about solutions, and Rima Williams, as part of Generation Now back in the day, and a leader out of the Mecca, and our vision got to be applied here. We can't keep talking retrospectively. We got to talk prospectively as well. We'll be back right after this.
Resolutions. New financial plan. At Bank of St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services, including home and auto loans. With online banking, you can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. One of my favorite interviews I've ever done was one with a 90-year-old Indian architect, because he taught me something I didn't know, that the key to great architecture is philosophy. It's designing a space where people can feel good and live a better life. That interview reminds me that I want to learn something new in every interview I do, so that you can too. Join me on Here and Now.
Here and Now, weekdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX-FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
A lot can happen in a week, and chances are you missed a great episode of Fresh Air. Fresh Air Weekend brings you the best interviews from your favorite writers, actors, musicians, and more. Catch the highlights of the week tailored for Saturday and Sunday. Join us for the next Fresh Air Weekend.
Fresh Air Weekend, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WTJX-FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back here, analyze this, and we got Commissioner Rima Williams from the Public Services Commission. Thank you very much, Lona Nichols, for the hookup. And Ronnie Russell, regular contributor. He joins us pretty much every Monday to set up the week and all that stuff. Quickly, Commissioner Williams, before I let you go, from a visionary perspective, you touched on the point where, dovetailing on what Ronnie Russell said, we haven't done anything, right? So we don't really necessarily have something to look at. What do we need to do going forward?
I think that from a regulatory perspective, we definitely have got to, you know, we don't need to revisit it because it's already in place. The Public Services Commission has given waste management the authority to implement the fees. We just need a legislature to allow it to happen. It's not an easy thing. Let's go there. And I think we all recognize that. But at some point in time, we have got to recognize and realize and appreciate that we're responsible for our waste. And we have got to pay for it. The government is not or should not be in the business of paying for collection and disposal of our waste. We as a community have got to do better. And that's my bottom line. You know, stop going back and stop talking about it. Just allow them to implement it. The fees and everything has been, you know, we spend a lot of money to pay for the studies and stuff like that. We've talked about this thing. It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, forever. But, you know, everybody, we keep playing this fear that, if we implement it, the community, I mean, an uproar. You know, like anything else, you could go to grocery receipt taxes and paying state tax. You know what I mean? All over the place. We continue to do the same thing over and over, and we're not accomplishing anything. But then we talk about how ineffective the Waste Management Authority is. That's like ridiculous, you know. We just need to implement it. We've got to move forward. We need to stop talking and studying and all that stuff and implement what's in place. And then we can look at it from an experiential perspective, maybe 2 years down the road, and say we can fix it at that point. But immediately we need to implement the tipping fees and stuff like that.
Thank you very much for your contribution today. Commissioner Williams, I know you're busy today, Monday. The work week starts today. We appreciate your points and counterpoints in this discussion, and we look forward to you providing that leadership with the PSC and hopefully getting you guys a quorum, because right now you need one more, right?
Yeah.
One more in the PSC. Yes.
We need people to serve, you know.
Yeah, we need people to serve, correct. Thank you very much, Commissioner Williams. Appreciate it.
You
got it. And thanks a lot, Lona Nichols, for hooking us up with Commissioner Rima Williams. Ronnie, when I read this Bloomberg article, Bloomberg Green, okay, you know, Bloomberg is a big thing. They got this whole media conglomerate. That's what Michael Bloomberg is. And one of the sections is Bloomberg Green. Here's the name of the article: Climate Adaptation. Texas was warned a decade ago its grid was unready for coal. Could you imagine that, Ronnie? With all of the clout the state of Texas has. If there's one state where everybody know who the two U.S. senators are, is the state of Texas, because of the influence it has, right? And here we are 10 years later, after that freeze out that took place in February of 2011, and all because of money on a Ronnie. They don't want to invest because they don't think they're going to ever recoup their investment, right?
Exactly.
Well, if that's the case, right, and look who got to fix it now. Not a Republican administration.
No.
Democrats coming in to fix it again.
Yeah. And
AOC raising money?
AOC raised $5 million while Ted happened on a plane to go to Cancun. And then he wanted to blame each other on them. You check? I mean, what kind of leadership is this? And this is the same thing.
That is the question.
That's the same thing that I keep hopping back all the time. When I first ran 2004, right? When you were running back to re-election for the first time, right? And they asked, and somebody said, Neville, I know you want to run and you got all these ideas and all that stuff. But if you don't understand that running for senator is about leadership, not all the technical and specialties, leadership in general, then you really don't understand what you're dealing with. And it appears to me, Ronnie, that everything for these people is politics instead of understanding this is about leadership.
Yeah, they're motivated by the wrong reasons, Neville. See, motivation to run and motivation to get power, and which is, you know, money and power, and it comes down to how the Republicans are bamboozling their base to believe that they're good leaders because they support no abortions. And while the leader might support no abortions, he has abdicated his leadership skills in every other area of how to manage and govern. And so that's what's happening. And the people in America, a lot of them are not catching the fact that they're being bamboozled by large money conglomerates. And it is not in their best interest. Texas shows it like, you know, people died because of the coal. And people didn't have water. And it showed that Texas was like regressing for a couple days to like a third world situation where you got water, food, and things. And I think it will reverberate in the American psyche because those Republicans started with lies again to get an excuse. And
I like how you're tying that one, right? I was curious as to where you were going with the abortion talk, but no, I understand where you're going with, right?
Yeah.
They're supposed to be pro-life, right? But people who live in, they ain't got a problem with them dying because of their negligence.
And the COVID. And the
COVID, I wanted to know where you're going to know. I wanted to know where you're going to know. But you make so much sense. They claim to be pro-life, right?
Yes.
But they ain't pro-investment to protect the people who live in.
That's right.
My engineer brought up something just now that I want you and I to revisit. Senator Russell, you remember in 2008, we had what I believe was a high-profile seat. That year, they were rough, you know. I mean, that wasn't just about Diageo Dung in July. We had a bigger issue up in February, you know. Remember when they wanted to impose the property taxes?
Yeah.
And St. John was going to bear the brunt of it. They were going to raise our collections from 50 to 60 million, right? And we asked them, well, wait, this 10 million we're raising, how is it spread out? When they say St. Thomas Flat, St. Croix might actually have a reduction and the rest coming from St. John. Remember that, right?
Yeah.
And remember it was me, the first vote, it was 7-7 and abstain, Basil Adley abstain, right?
That's right.
It was me, you, Lewis,
Wang,
that's four, what's his name? Sean Malone,
yeah.
Five, yeah. Nelson 6 and Lorna. And not Lorna, Carmen Wesselhoff. Carmen Wesselhoff, right?
Because she was from St. John.
She was from St. John, right? So it was the seven of us who voted no, right? I believe that's what it was, right?
I think you're right.
Yeah, it was either Sean Malone or Batiste. But I know for sure on the majority side, it was Nelson, Carmen Wesselhoff, and one more, and four of us on the minority side, right? And remember we went out and we actually hit the radio stations. And one of the things that we said, right, was, let me tell you something. In every jurisdiction, property taxes has a specific duty in every state, whether it be education, infrastructure, roads, what have you, only in the Virgin Islands, and maybe one more, maybe one or two more states, property taxes goes right into the general fund. My engineer just reminded me about property taxes and how we were supposed to use that to help waste management and those different areas.
Yeah.
You check, and we haven't done that. Everything for us is so generic.
Yeah.
Look at it now. We need the people. Property taxes is supposed to show for something, not just paying into the government so the government could do what it's been doing for the last 51 years since we've been elected a governor. It can't work that way.
Yeah. We are not managing our resources to the best of our ability. And that Correct. Is part of our problem because we elect, senators every 2 years and expect them to catch up in 2 years to all the historical data and information and things that have brought us where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we face some difficult issues.
You still gonna be laughing at that abortion connection, you know, because it's appropriate.
Yeah, you got to. No,
you're right. They're talking pro-life. And people who live in got less rights than lizards.
Yes, sir.
This is crazy.
And then you try to blame people.
Yeah, who just rich.
Yeah, and the conservative label and it should be labeled differently. And I got some other labels for it because you can't go against basic human rights
and say you're
a conservative,
putting
a lot of people and vote certain ways. Like, for example, the impeachment, it wasn't... I heard Beef Clendenon and Jamila Station yesterday.
Yeah, Saturday.
And he was justifying the vote of the Republicans. Okay.
Well, that makes sense because that's beef.
Yeah.
That's beef.
What beef might be missing is that people died in the insurrection. And so how
yes,
do you account?
Yes, sir. What about your family?
How do you account for
we ain't a value for life?
Yeah. And you justifying that it was a constitutional issue.
No, sir.
And the guy that caused these deaths running scot-free.
When
you come down to the analysis and when you analyze stuff, Neville, you got to start pulling these pieces together because the illogical and unreasonable behavior of the Republicans that have power now. Why would, in Florida, the governor give the vaccine to the rich people and forget about the majority of people who been affected and dying? And then he justifies because
the donations, legal and illegal, are coming from who he looking out for. That's why boy long talk. But you touch on something again.
What we want to do is we don't need to embrace none of that type of attitude here in the Virgin Islands.
Brother Q sent a text. He said we must learn from Texas. Capitalism
yes.
does not work well during natural disasters.
Yeah,
he's right. You touch on something I want to bring up, right? And it's ironic.
Yeah.
You know, yesterday, right, marked the 56th anniversary of the killing of Malcolm X, right?
Yes.
February 21st, 1965. Ronnie, one of the things that I listened, remember when we were young, we were told Malcolm X, that radical, extreme, all that stuff, until we really... You do your own research and you come to find out, all that stuff, right? Here's one of the things that he said. You just touched on it, right? He said, I don't want people to lose sight of the fact that what's going on in the South, this is paraphrasing Malcolm X, right? What's going on in the South isn't just a civil rights issue. It's a human rights issue.
Thank you.
When you got men spraying people and sicking dogs and people, and black people down in the South at that particular time. And he said, this is a human rights issue. Not just a simple, you don't do this to human beings. And you just talked about the human rights aspect, right?
Yeah.
The level of sensitivity that is required during a natural disaster in the aftermath, right? This is where you find out about good leadership, you know, Rania. And everything's cycling back to this leadership, you know.
Yeah.
You can't be as brazen and verbose. I think that's the right word. Verbose as you would normally be. The people need to see a level of contrition and a high level of sensitivity when people are hurting.
Yeah.
And people freeze into debt. And then and in order to offset that, they are now turning up their heat and they're going to pay a bill because of something that wasn't their fault.
Yes.
Which requires from the leadership, Ronnie, sensitivity. I'm going to let you make your last comment on that note. Your last words on that note because we're signing off soon.
Why the leadership have to be sensitive? Because everybody is taxed to pay into what the leadership does.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the leadership is in leadership and they could get a salary and they could live nice is because people pay taxes.
That's right.
So the guy who frees in and he got a job, he paying taxes. You using his money and mismanaging it in a way that could damage his family, his friends, and the whole community. And that is why the system is problematic, because people, taxpayers, don't rise up and say, no, no more. You can't do that to us no more. Anyhow, let me close with that. Thank you, Neville.
Ronnie, no, thank you for your contribution. And like I said, I gonna smile knowing how you piece that one together today.
Yeah,
right. With a pro life, with a pro argument, pro life argument. Yeah. What about pro living?
Yeah.
Pro living is important though, and I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. Thanks a lot, Ronnie. Good looking
thank
out.
Thank you, and everybody have a good day.
Okay, good. Thanks a lot. That's Ronnie Russell, and you know, we crystallize our discussion with sensitivity. You know, when hurricanes are coming, right? Here's what we do: pack up your bundle. Get safe. Protect yourself. Set up yourself for the worst. Canned beef. Sultana biscuit. All them things like that. Right? Because you don't know what's going to happen. And if it don't happen, then you got them there. And they could still cook and eat. And fix. Right? And Ronnie's right. You know, you can't have a Ted Cruz happen on a plane going to Cancun. Because he has the resources. While his constituents who vote for him in the state of Texas are suffering. You can't do that. And by the way, El Paso, take a bow for not being a part of that Texas grid and being part of the Western Connection. Don't get caught up in this secession mentality, because Alan West, the leader of the Republican Party in Texas, been promoting that. This is craziness. Anyway, great show today. Kyle Fleming, Raymond Williams, Ronnie Russell, thanks a lot for your contributions. Brother Q, thanks for the Lorna Nichols as well. Brother Q, thanks for the text. Talk to you tomorrow. Another edition of the books.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.